Hello, person. Welcome to this place.
Hello, person. Welcome to this place. You are now tuned into the sounds of...
It's Vision Radio. Yes, yes, yes. I'm Dave Colombo Jenkins, and we've got a very, very, very special guest. I am joined by Icicle for a very special takeover to celebrate the release of his third and final album, Post. Mr. Freeze, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, man. How are you?
I'm not bad, man. All the better for seeing you in your swanky new studio as well. This is a really special show that you're doing from a really special location, isn't it?
Yeah. We've been working on the studio, me and my friend Darko Esser, for about a year, and put a lot of energy into it and still wiring it up. But yeah, it's our little museum, synthesizer museum, pretty much.
Oh, man. And yeah. I know you put a lot of energy into the tune selection. So all of the tunes are selected by you for this show. And what are we going to start off with first, man?
This is Opus 3, It's a Fine Day, which I think, you know, in the context of my album, was an obvious bit of inspiration for the tune Nostalgia, which, you know, you can probably put together yourself. But also in terms of, I think, that whole rave 90s nostalgia, that is definitely a theme for the album. So I figured we start with this, you know, on a bit of an off angle.
Lovely, and then we're gonna go straight into Nostalgia.
Yeah, this track, I think for me, I wanted to do something with like that sort of, I don't know, I find it hard to describe, but this song really has that vibe where it's like euphoric 90s, but it's really eerie, you know? It's like this sort of, feels to me like sort of the final scene of Braveheart when he starts like, you know, seeing his wife and like just before the hammer comes down, like this sort of vision of heaven, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow, man, you've got me all rippling in goosebumps there.
But yeah, that, I think that type of, you know, that nostalgia for me to that kind of eerie euphoria, which is a weird contradiction, that's definitely something that was in my head when I was trying to write this. Yeah.
No, you can feel that. This is brilliant. Go on.
This next one, State of Play, Poor Man's Steel Conflict Remix, has been a major influence on me since I first heard it and found the vinyl, which is somewhere back here. I think any kind of shroud drum and bass, any kind of tech, it's all, you know, you can lead it all back to this, and Ed Russian Optical in its way as well, and some other people, obviously, but this, it's done it so well for the time. You know, I was playing this before the track I'm playing next, which is one of mine of the album, but a lot of that techie shroud influence, this is what I'm thinking about, like many people.
Go on.
We'll be right back.
I'm learning some Dutch today. Schraal, schraal. That isn't a proper Dutch word. I was thinking, like, I'm going to ask you what that means, but it's just a sound that synths make. Brilliant.
Very lazily mimicking FMA. Yeah.
Schraal, schraal.
Schraal, schraal.
Brilliant.
It's a preset on the Virus TI, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Schraal. Yeah, this is my take, what we're playing now. This is my take on schraal, schraal.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
Don't Blink from the album. You know, just wanted to do that techie. There's definitely something 90s in here, but maybe slightly more modern than most of the album. But yeah, you know, conflicty basses, but different context, I guess. Yeah.
Brilliant. I see what you've done here now. You had Don't Blink, which I did. When I announced that tune for the first time, I gave a public health warning for people to actually blink, because it's really important that you do blink. You keep your eyes moist, or, you know, just if you don't blink, you're going to have a bad time. So please, everybody listening, do blink when you need to. But I see what you've done here now, because the next tune is called...
Wide Eyes.
Wide Eyes, brilliant. Which is something definitely. You do if you're not blinking. You keep your eyes nice and wide.
I hadn't even thought of that. How awesome that is on the language level. But yeah, I do want to play this because it's a Marcus Intellects tune and it always deserves to be played. But also because of this track and that time, I was living in Eindhoven then. I was hanging out with Bardo a lot and like the crew there. And Marcus would come and play a lot. And there was this whole Detroit influence drum and bass stuff that he was doing, Martijn was doing, obviously Comics was doing, and you know, I think this was an interesting time for me, definitely in relation to that kind of 90s nostalgia, like the techno, the Detroit house influence, and you know, it's something that I've also tried to use in the album a bit. I think this is a good example of it being done before, like everything is done before. And I just wanted to play it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. One of the best examples. Nobody else did it better, really, this kind of Detroit influence drum and bass. Rest in peace, Marcus. What's next?
Yeah, next one is Turnaround. It's a track that I did, which was like, this is basically like a synth riff that I recorded from maybe Reactor Blocks or something, some weird kind of glitchy thing. It's sat there for maybe years. I guess in my mind, this was still a bit Detroit-y, techno-y, synth-y. But that riff just sat there for a long time, and then I decided to pick it up again for the album because I wanted something that had that kind of, I don't know. I think this, with these type of riffs, every once in a while you make one you don't really understand yourself either, and then it becomes a bit more. And this is one of those ones where I don't know. It's just, especially the turnaround at the end, basically. So within that context, I figured, we play this one as well.
Go on, cool. I guess you've got to let a riff, sometimes you've got to let an idea mature and just let it sit there, haven't you, until it makes sense in the context of other things that you're working on or where else your kind of mind is at, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, with it, you know, as a sort of tune on its own, this would be hard to put out, but for an album, you know, this is the kind of stuff that adds a lot more texture to it and listenability. And, yeah, you know, I'm happy the way it turned out. But there was like a lot of different incarnations of this, different beats and different ideas, snareless and everything. But, you know, to be fair though, Nick in the A&R process told me the breakdown was a little bit too hairdressing salon for him, I think, something like that. I mean, he might have had a point, but, you know, judge me.
No, he hasn't, because he's never been in a hairdressing salon. He's as bald as a coot. Now we're going to get into the techno side of you, a fellow Dutchman as well. Tell us all about this selection.
Yes, Speedy J, he's a legend, he's Dutch, he makes awesome techno, done so since the 90s. This tune is, you know, when I play under my techno alias Cadence, I used to play this I played this in Trezor, you know, just before the lockdown. Still goes off massively, and it's just such a tune. It's just a tune, you know, it just needs to be played. And drum and bass people need to know about Speedy J if they don't already. That's just the statement that I'm making here.
Yeah, definitely. Mad use of distortion on this one. It's 1997, but it still sounds way ahead of its time even now. Mm-hmm. Speedy. So I've been looking forward to finding out about this next one. Now, this is Threshold with yourself and your brother. Like, you like this, you're just a whole family of producers, because obviously I've interviewed you and Geist before, you know, your cousin Proxima. I didn't know that your brother made techno as well. So what is it about the Snick family then that runs in the DNA as producers?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, my brother and me kind of always were, you know, we're like, when we were 10 or like 11 or 12 on my parents' PC, my brother installed Reason, and then we just went from there. My brother's 2 years younger than me. He was making trance then under the alias M-Faced Reality. But he had a lot of success. He was like Ferry Corsten and those guys were playing his tunes. He had his first vinyl release years before me.
So he must have been super young. Like, you started pretty young then. He must have been super young.
Yeah, he was definitely, I think for his first vinyl release, he might have been 16, 17 or something like that. But yeah, I mean, he kind of then gave it up for a bit and then came back writing techno. He has a label called Krachtvoer now. It does like really hard techno, which I really enjoy. But also the broken stuff. This is a collaboration of us doing that type of stuff, you know. It's quite up tempo for techno, but with the broken angle, you know, a little bit of drum and bass production, but also, you know, just that, I don't know, kind of ravey, basement-y techno that I really like. And I've never really done, I've done some collaboration with my brother on techno labels, but I figured it'd be really cool to do it the other way around and you know, do it on drum and bass label, especially an album, especially the last one, you know?
Definitely, definitely. Loving the vibes on this one. So shouts to your brother Thomas, and shouts to yourself for picking this tune, Randomer, Funeral for a Crow. Now this is a dub, but while I was looking up stuff about the tune, I would advise anybody listening to look up crow funerals. They are a thing and they're fascinating. So big up all crows who listen to this show. I know there's a massive crow community. Brilliant. Tell us all about this though, because I know you've got a personal connection with Randomer, haven't you?
Yeah, Randomer is a good mate. We used to live close to each other in London, and he was on med school as I was, and then, you know, he hit me up to carpool to a show once, like 10 years ago, 15, I don't know, 13 years, something like that. And we stayed friends since then. We lived in Berlin together for a small stint a couple years ago. And he was writing this kind of stuff. This tune is one of my favorites of his. It never came out, weirdly, because I think it's one of his best. But he was writing this stuff, really chunky, heavy techno, like very heavy bass, but then with these very random, haunting, eerie melodies. This was like a definite influence this time for writing Dominate, which we'll play later from the album. But I wanted to play this in relation to that for, you know, that sort of solid bass, the haunting melodies. And you know, Randomer's killing it at that time. He still is. He's killing it, and, you know, within techno. And yeah, for me, this was a really interesting time. It was only 2 months that I lived in Berlin, but, you know, it was chaos, but also fun.
Brilliant. Thank you.
So this is Dominate, as I was talking about it before. You know, this is my take on that, but trying to drum and bassify it, you know, so because I wrote this as a 145 tune to begin with, and then I just turned the tempo up, and then I was thinking like, yes, this can still work, you know. This is probably 3 or 4 years old, and I think since then a lot of people started making techno-y drum and bass anyway, so it's come out fairly late.
A lot of people, yeah. I mean, that sound has been dominant like for the last kind of year or 18 months or so. So this was ahead of his time, because I can remember seeing you play at least 3 years ago and hearing a variation of this. This is probably the oldest tune on the album, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I remember playing this at Let It Roll still then, before the pandemic. But yeah, you know, that kind of combination, obviously full on 90s techno, like really sort of sped up, speedy JS, maybe even Dave Clarke in a way somehow.
Yeah.
But also those melodies, I was doing them in techno tracks a little bit, and there's like an element of those like old German preemies, we call them, you know, those German like detective shows with these really haunting, eerie synthesizer themes, you know. That's kind of
I
think, you know, that deserves more of a place within dance music. So, you know, that's what a very weird but I guess haunting melody in this track.
Brilliant, let's solve some crime. I think we're going to keep the techno vibes alive, aren't we now? What's coming up next?
Yeah, this is Cloud's Exploration of Use, like a fairly recent release on Casual Gabbers, if I'm correct.
Yeah, what a brilliant name for a label as well, Casual Gabbers. There's no, Gabber is never casual.
No. I don't know, you know, a lot of my old mates from Holland here used to be Gabbers and they're now Casual Gabbers, so maybe it makes sense, you know?
Ah, yeah.
I've been playing this wherever I can get away with it, because it combines a drum and bass. It's the same speed, and you know, this is sort of the next step on like what we were talking about before, the techno-y drum and bass that's really going somewhere, I think, as a sound at the moment. But this is like coming in from the other side, you know, like sort of.
Yeah, totally. It's like drum and bass is turning into techno, and techno is turning into drum and bass, or they're meeting in this kind of crazy creative spot in the middle. I didn't actually check the BPM on this, but yeah, it's fast as hell, isn't it? Really, I didn't realize that this was drum and bass tempo. So is it interesting to see what techno people are doing with this kind of interesting crossover? And yeah, exciting times for both genres, I think.
Definitely.
This is one of my favourite tunes that you've picked as well. Go on, tell us about this one. Absolute classic from, I think, 2005 or 2006 or something.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a favourite tune of mine since it came out. You know, the vocal is awesome on it. It's political drum and bass. It's, you know, something I think there could be more of. It's definitely also a theme and an idea that was in my head when I was writing, you know, because I started the album before the whole lockdown time, but, you know, this whole move towards fascism, like Trump being elected, people not believing science, you know, this is really worrying. It's the stuff that's in my head as well. And, you know, this is a time that we live in. The album was made in that time. It's one of the reasons it's called Post. It's post many things, but it's also post-truth, you know?
Yeah.
Really worrying. And I think Amit was ahead of the curve here with this track.
Hugely.
Which is still so current. And like it was tongue-in-cheek almost, but it really isn't, you know. This is a point. This is a valid, really important point, I think. And music can have more of it.
Yeah, I think it feels, yeah, I think it feels even more valid now than it did like 17 years ago, really. And this was the first, I can't, I think the album was called, oh, what was the album called? I can't remember now. It's right on the tip of my tongue. But it's the first ever halftime album. But yeah, Amit was well ahead of the game on this one. And I totally agree with you. We need more political drum and bass. More political music, full stop.
Dreams, people.
Amit. The album was, of course, never ending, and it does feel like this political situation is never ending at the moment globally. And yeah, you can very much hear the influence on this track. So tell us all about the title track, Postman.
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying before, this is kind of a sign of the times type of idea that I was thinking about, you know, the political direction the world is moving in, a disembodied voice kind of saying these sort of current concepts like personal truth, people not believing science anymore. For me, it's really scary, jarring, and I wanted to write a tune kind of like that, jarring in its own way as well, dissonant and ugly.
Going to carry on with vibes from the album, and it was so good to see you link up with Skittles again. Big up a man like Skittles.
Yeah, he's amazing as a vocalist. He's like, you know, I like working with him because his voice is almost like a percussive instrument, you know, and we yeah. really underlined it with this track. You know, I think it speaks for itself, to be honest.
Consciousness wants us, does most rush push. It's just us, we're just us. It's just tough, it's just tough. Rough, puffed up, good luck, good butt does. Good luck, good wood, blood block. What mud, wood, blood clock. When flood shut does jug stop. What good does mug shots make us buzz. Is blood what makes us bruvs. Does love not make us us. Does love not make us us. Does love not make us dance. Dance. Not me, cause does love not make us us? Does love not make us us? Does love not make us us? Does love not want what you've not got. Incomplete dot dot dot. So kids shot on hot blocks. Souls in clothes from hot rocks. You think lots of drop tops. So shot rocks and chop crops in white socks and flip flops. So no shock, there's those cops. There's no bolts in those docks. And those judges, no locks. Cause their shots to you shock you. You've got to, you've got to dance. Like Jamaica man dance. Jamaica man dance. 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 Does love not make us us?
Yes, I've been looking forward to us playing this as well. I got really, really excited when I saw this in the playlist when he sent it over. Venetian snares from, like, you know, kind of classic peak time Venetian snares as well. This is Langside. Tell us why you picked this one, man.
Yeah, this, like, when this came out, a friend of mine tipped this and I was like 18 years old or something like that. And I didn't really even get it completely. I'd listened to it fairly often, but I never really enjoyed it. But I was listening to, what is it? You know, what is this? And it stayed with me, and I think you know, it's had an influence on the album. And I think it's a typical, even though this might be really late 90s or early 2000s, probably
2003,
yeah, right, it's still for me that kind of that breakcore-ish edity 90s music. That's definitely, you know, definitely an influence for edits, you know, and just sheer, I don't know, creativity.
Yeah, totally, totally. There's no other genre like breakcore, really. And this is from the album Chocolate Wheelchair, which is one of my favorites, alongside Songs About My Cats and Winter in the Belly of a Snake. Big up Venetian snares. We need more Venetian snares on this show.
Wow, that's got good reverb, isn't it?
Vision Radio.
Recently had the realization that Venetian snares must be like Venetian blinds, but for snares, you know, like loads of them in a row that you can look through.
Yeah.
That must be why he called himself that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this one's deaf. Obviously, you can hear the influence, I think. It's more dark, it's more eerie. But, you know, I haven't really... I do tunes like this, weird, edity, kind of soundscapey things, but they never really see the light of day. But Nick got quite excited when he heard this, and yeah, it's had a place on the album since then.
Brilliant. In the vibe now, this is another absolute classic. I don't know if we've got time to play the whole 9 minutes of it, but tell us what you've picked now.
Why not? I need the 9 minutes. I'll just talk and talk and talk so you can't shorten it, you know, so we have to go 9 minutes. But then you couldn't hear the tune. Now, you know, Lifespan and Ed Rush and Optical, major influence, obviously. The drum break on this is done so well. I've asked Optical how he did this once, and he just said he recorded and re-recorded and re-recorded through pedals on a loop, But you know, the snare, for a long time this snare was like a holy snare to me. And you know, for this type of stuff, this type of sound, this is something that I always go back to, that I listen to again, you know, because it really captures that dark proper 90s drum and bass for me.
Yeah, that minimalism as well, just that really, just like, it's the acid line, the break, and that cello line, like, just cold, so cold. Yeah.
Drawn in. It's the only dubstep track of the album. I wanted to do maybe more dubstep, but you know, when the tunes aren't there, they aren't there. But this didn't start out as a drum and bass track. It started out as something that sounded a lot more like Lifespan, like in my head. So I played it before it. And then I turned the tune down to 140 and it all made sense. You know, all the basses and sound designy bits had a lot more space to breathe and it worked. But yeah, that's where it's coming from, I guess.
really glad you added some 140 music, especially as your last album, really, to join the dots and look back over all of the stuff that you've given the world so far. And a lot of people would have come into your sound as a dubstep artist. Anyone who kind of got into stuff around like those kind of late 2000s time, it was 50-50, you know, the stuff that you were making, really, I think.
Yeah, it was really, really fun times. I really missed those times as well. You know, for me, I could play parties where I could, people were equally happy if I played drum and bass or dubstep. I could mix it up, and that's gone away a bit for me in the last years, definitely for me anyway, for people that come to see me. But it seems to be returning for a new generation, you know, a lot more openness in terms of genres and acceptability, or like, you know, people being accepting of different styles. I see that coming back.
Me too, know. Definitely. But let's go back in time now for a moment. So I think it was the third ever Vision release. You've picked a Noisia classic here, haven't you? Tell us about Emissions.
Yeah, this track has got that sort of driving, building, haunting kind of bassline-y build-up type stuff. It's definitely yes, the type of sound that I've tried to do from time to time. I think this maybe even originates with TB more than with Noisia here, but I mean, this is an influence, I think, on Perspective, which was one of the last tunes I wrote for the album. But yeah, this deserves a play here, I think, because it's just really done well.
Yeah, definitely.
Perspective of my album. It's the last tune I wrote. I wrote it fairly recently, like this year, I guess. I tried to do like what I was saying before, that sort of slowly building, almost techno-y build-up, but the sort of dark atmosphere. I can write these type of tunes for days, but I always feel like nobody really wants to hear them necessarily, because they're a bit self-indulgent. These like sort of haunting, slow-moving, dark tunes. But still, you know, I'm quite... maybe this is one of my personal favorites of the album. I don't know why, because it is.
It's one of mine. I'm going to speak on behalf of lots of other people. I definitely like hearing things like this from you, man.
Yeah, maybe I should be more self-indulgent then sometimes.
Yes, always. we've got some absolute stone cold classical business coming up right now. Tell us all about this one, man.
I found this on vinyl. I was like the coolest guy for a while because it's so rare. And this is The Trooper, which is Votek.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if that's ever really entirely been confirmed, but there must be Rupert Parks, The Trooper with a U. But yeah, that whole series of street beats was cool stuff. And this is like classic shouting, old school vocals, amens, atmospherics, and lots of bass. It's just, it's awesome music. Johnny L used to do this amazingly as well. I could have picked something from him. Actually, I did, didn't I?
Yeah. But, there is some Johnny L coming up in a bit.
But yeah, for me, this is like a friend of mine, John Roscoe, is like the local record store guy. He became a really good friend. He showed me all this stuff. He had a sick collection himself. Votek is Votek. He's on a different level for me. I took that influence definitely for the last track on the album. But this track is, it's a gem. And yeah, I have the 10-inch here somewhere, and it's like one of my most cherished possessions.
Go on, wicked.
Yeah, this is the same tune as in my mind as what we heard before. It's just Amon's shouting, old school vocals, and lots of bass. You know, I wrote this. When I wrote this tune, also quite early on, I was thinking I was gonna do a whole album of this type of stuff and just not care that it's not very playable in a way. Didn't do it, but I'm happy this made it on there. It's pure nostalgia for me. You know, those early days, those old Johnny L. Votek-y, shouty, bass-line-y, Amon cut-ups.
The raw ingredients, the fundamentals.
Absolutely.
Gonna keep those classical flavors. I haven't done a Yaymuck of the week. I don't know if you listen to the show regularly enough. I do a Yaymuck. This isn't my Yaymuck. I think I probably should have done one retrospectively, but you've picked some absolute classics, which are all like tunes which got me into this kind of music, really. So yeah, tell us all about this one, man.
Yeah, same for me. This got me into it. When I first heard Sawtooth and like Wish You Had Something, Piper, I based my whole early career around it. You know, so I had to play some Johnny L. I haven't played this in a bit, but this is such a tune. And also coming out of, you know, the last two tunes, like kind of musical, but like chopped up beats, bass combination. Journey, I was a master of it.
We could play the entire Sawtooth album and it still sounds well ahead of its time. So yeah, big up for this. This is Treading. I love the title of this, Alone. Like, who calls a tune Scoundrels? What a brilliant word.
Yeah, it's the vocal that's leading this. It's from a well-known animated series. I don't know if I shoot myself in the foot by saying it, but for everybody who recognizes it, you know, obviously respect and hats off to you. But yeah, you know, I think it has the same kind of quirkiness as the series does in the tune. I think that's kind of really most of what this tune is, to be honest.
Yes, we're just taking a moment's respite from the amazing selection from Icicle here to flex back over the last week and listen to the tune that everybody on Patreon voted for the most. It is Rohan, Hold on Deadbeats. Thank you to everybody who gets involved on Discord and especially on Patreon, and to just everybody who listens to the show, really. Big up!
Hold.
on, Rohan. So now, yeah, this is the last tune. What are we going to sign out with? Tell us all about this one, man.
This is a new track my brother made. It was actually called Snert before he changed the title. Which is the Dutch word for a type of pea soup. Very chunky type of pea soup. Yeah, my brother has interesting working titles, but he called it Dragonfly just before the show. Yeah, I used to do a Rinse show for a long time, I don't know how many years, and I always, like as a tradition, would end on techno tunes, like the last 10 minutes, sneak in some techno because, you know, I could. And I figured I could do the same here, end on a bit of techno.
Go on. Wicked. So this is the very last tune, so thank you to everybody who's listened, and thank you to yourself, Jerome, for picking all of these amazing tunes and giving us a really different vision experience this week. To everybody listening who pays on subscription and supports the show that way on Patreon, you can listen to an extensive interview between myself and Mr. Freeze here, all about the album and everything else that's going on in his life, so you can head on over to that. That will be live around about the same time as the show. And yeah, thank you very much for the selection, man. It's been an awesome experience hosting the show with you.
Oh, big up. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, man. Ciao, ciao. Do you want to build a snowman?
No, Dave.